Hello, hello. Welcome in for another episode of By Order of the Peaky Blinders. Daniel here alongside Josh. Mr. Levy, how you doing today?
Doing great. Work has been kicking my butt lately, so this is nice to get on here and spew some peaky spew. Spew some peaky spew.
I'm definitely
not okay, but excited to talk peaky. Any other content we have going on. Doing great. I'm nice and warm in South Florida, Miami. It's nice and 75 degrees. Wow, Daniel, what are you celebrating 40 degrees up in Indiana? Gosh,
I did my best Tommy Shelby impression this morning, and I played some golf.
Oh.
It was cold. It was like 47, and I was so happy to see the sun. I am excited that next week we're supposed to hit the big 6-0, which is a number I never thought I would be celebrating on my thermostat. But yeah, and you know, talking to some people that are surrounding the Peaky Blinder filming crew, maybe in the works for a potential interview in the next few weeks, it sounds like they are happy to be out of Scotland, back filming in the UK. And as of today, they are filming in Liverpool. And there are a lot of umbrellas, Josh, and we'll make sure to post all of these photos over to our Facebook at facebook.com/peakypodcast. Most of our information is coming from the main season 6 update Instagram, Peaky Blinders season 6. So I thank my compatriot across the pond, a fantastic female Peaky fan. Now, she might be a Patreon fan. It's a little bit more of an anonymous list. I don't like to tell our non-Patreon members who is on our Patreon. But if you're interested in that, I mean, I guess Josh and I would be more than happy to hit you with 70 plus bonus episodes for just $5 over on patreon.com/buyorderofpeaky. But yeah, they've returned to Liverpool. According to Anthony Byrne, Josh, they are done with the night shoots. This was as of about a week and a half ago. So there's not going to be any... No season 7 Game of Thrones kind of stuff going on with the night shoot.
That is something that I was just thinking about. Like they do their night shoots and their day shoots, but like obviously there's like overlapping and like chronology of when those scenes actually happen. So like I find it super interesting how they film scenes ahead of time that happen after, before, like you know what I mean. It's just, it's very interesting and it's kind of weird. Like I can't imagine acting to that.
It's got to be the number one most like challenging, but also the number one thing that non-actors probably don't understand, right? Like the normies like us, we don't get that Anya Taylor-Joy might have filmed all of the Moscow scenes of the Queen's Gambit in the beginning, right? And then she went back in time as an orphan. And so, you know, I do want to spread some love. Josh and I have to be just the biggest Anya Taylor-Joy. Maybe not the biggest, but how about the first? We're one of the first Anya Taylor-Joy fans in the podcasting world. And our queen.
Pro Anya Taylor-Joy podcast.
Our queen's got herself a globe, man. And that's pretty good.
Congratulations to her. Her career has taken off, and that is an understatement. Her trajectory and her career is just sky's the limit for her. I'm very happy for her. She's a great actress, has a very interesting story, very interesting, diverse background. She lived in Miami for like 2 seconds of her life, which was pretty cool.
It says she's from Miami, so that's all that. Remember when we first, and listen, our OG fans will remember this, when Josh and I first went, like we're like scrolling through people's IMDBs and Anya Taylor-Joy is a new addition to the cast, blah, blah, blah. And then we're like, wait, she's from Miami. And we freaked out for half of a minute before we realized that she's British.
She was there for like a second. She's like, lived in like Argentina. She lived in Miami. She lived in the UK and like, but she doesn't have a British accent, obviously.
No, she does. She has a very British accent, Josh.
Right, but I'm saying in like all of the stuff that she plays.
Right. Well, the things that we've seen
she plays purely American.
Queen's Gambit and Peaky
and Split.
You're right. And Split.
Her three main roles, she is only American, like purely.
Not to mention, she's in the newest. I think it's like Marvel, but it's supposed to be like the new style to young people. It's called The New Mutants. which has probably Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones. It's got Charlie Heaton, who I really liked in Stranger Things as like the older brother, Jonathan. So that'll be interesting. That's one of those things that like, who knows how it's going to be if it's come
probably
out. I don't even know if it's come out or not. It's like an X-Men, but now that Marvel owns X-Men. So that's something that Anya Taylor-Joy has. She's also in the making of like 19 different things, including, and this is something that I really wanted to touch on here in our Anya praise. You remember Mad Max?
Of course. One of the best movies in the last 20 years.
Couldn't agree more. Do you remember Charlize Theron's character, Furiosa?
Yes.
There is a movie coming out in 2023 called Furiosa.
Wow.
Starring Anya Taylor-Joy in the origin story of the Renegade Warrior before she teamed up with Mad Max. Do you know who the other two actors that are attached to this movie are with Anya Taylor-Joy?
Who else?
A little guy by the name of Chris Hemsworth.
Ooh.
AKA Thor. And the recently awarded Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who was absolutely dominant in Watchmen, The Trial of the Chicago 7, and he was also in Aquaman. So that is, I mean, we haven't even, listen, we don't do the next year on, we don't like to do that stuff until the end of the year when Josh is super busy and Daniel does a solo podcast going through every single peaky actor and says what they're doing the next year. So we're gonna save most of that, but I had to give a shout out to Anya Taylor-Joy there. I talked with Marissa about one more Peaky Blinders character, actor more, that I should say, that won a Golden Globe, Josh. And this was something that kind of blew me away. But you haven't seen The Crown yet, so it's not necessarily going to hit the same way.
I've seen like the first two seasons.
I mean, you haven't seen The New Crown.
I'm still on the boat.
Trust me.
Literally, I'm at the part of season two where they're on the boat.
Oh, I thought you meant that you haven't gotten off like the bandwagon.
No,
yet,
like I mean both. Like literally, I'm on the boat, and metaphorically, I'm also on the boat.
Well, I think the best character of season 3 and 4, probably the best acted character. I don't want to say the best actor. I don't want to throw any shade to anyone, especially Olivia Colman, who is like also a queen and the queen. But Josh O'Connor, who played Prince Charles, just won a Golden Globe for his performance, Josh. And I had no idea that he was in Peaky Blinders.
Who is he in Peaky Blinders?
He played Ada's gay roommate for like 2.5 minutes.
Oh my God. Isn't
that nuts?
Very.
So a congratulations to him. One more award announcement here that really just ties our podcast in full circle. And I mean, really, we couldn't be more shouted out by this BAFTA announcement for the 5 Rising Star nominees. And now this is a little odd to me, okay? Now, we'll talk a little bit about this afterwards. But Conrad Khan, who is the newest Peaky Blinders addition, who we don't know who he will play. He is young. He's about 21 years old, but he looks like he's 15. So he could be a son of someone. He could be an immigrant. He could be a protege. There are a lot of different options. He was in a movie that was highly critically acclaimed, but more importantly, he was like the star. It was like his first starring role. It was called County Lines, which was about like a coming of age film, 14-year-old boy who was groomed into a criminal network. And so this has garnered Conrad Khan to be in this prestigious group, all right? These are the newcomers, the rising stars, I should call them. They in America, we call them like best new artists, right? But in the UK, it's rising stars. We got a woman by the name of Buki Bakray, a woman by the name of Morfydd Clark, and I'll talk about them in a minute. Then we got our guy, Kingsley Ben-Adir, who is blowing up after dying via blowing up Ben Younger. Didn't do that on purpose.
RIP.
But he was Malcolm X in the great One Night in Miami that just was dropped on Amazon Prime. He also plays Barack Obama in The Comey Rule, and he's got a few big roles coming up as well. And our favorite actor of 2020, Josh, that's not Anya Taylor-Joy, Sope Dirisu from Gangs of London.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, that's our guy.
This is a crew right here. We've got three by order of the Peaky Blinders studs. Two Peaky Blinders, one Gangs of London nominated for Rising Star. You actually might remember a couple of these other people. Buki Bukray, probably not. She's been in one movie called Rocks. So this is truly Rising Star. Not quite sure how Kingsley Benadire found his way in here, because I feel like he... I mean, I guess 2020 was big for him, but I just feel like he's a little bit bigger of a star in my mind. Obviously, Sope Dirisu, we talked about him. He was in The Huntsman, Winter's War, that was also starring Chris Hemsworth with Conrad Khan. So there's a little bit of connection there between Gangs of London and Peaky Blinders. So excited to have Conrad Khan aboard. Have no idea if he's going to be British, French, American, Canadian. So many options here in season six, Josh.
It's definitely interesting that we just have like so many brand new characters that are coming onto the scene. I don't know who this character is supposed to be. Probably Carl, probably Charlie. Maybe he's going to be in the spinoff Nannies of Birmingham. you really just don't know, but it's cool because, I mean, obviously this kid's a great actor. He's probably going to be like the Timothy Chalamet of like the UK or something.
Yep. Even though, is Timothy Chalamet British?
Is he? He
definitely... it feels like the name Timothy Chalamet.
He's American.
Wow.
He definitely probably has
Manhattan right
He
there.
Was born in Manhattan. Yes. But anyways, this guy seems like he's a rising star. He's probably a great actor. So I'm excited to see what role he plays. And if he's this good of an actor, it's not just some Joe Schmo role. It's probably some integral part. Obviously, he's not some like giant antagonist to the show, because I don't think that a young kid is going to be kicking Tommy off his boots, you know, taking him aback. But
I think the common guesses have been one of John's sons that we saw running around in season one. Remember, he had like a boatload of kids for Esme.
That's true.
That is a possibility. There's also the chance that I'm leaning towards the fact that this is a red herring thrown at us, that we are all guessing that he's going to be a Shelby and he's just going to be a street kid from Birmingham.
No.
Tommy picks up and yep. I mean, that's my guess.
That would be stupid.
Why? Why can't we see him grooming the next Tommy Shelby?
Because then Tommy's, why would he care? Why would he care about picking up some random kid and grooming him?
Well, maybe we're going to find out in episode one of season six.
That would just be so off the beaten path of a storyline when there's so much to fit into six episodes plus a movie.
Okay. That's true.
In my opinion.
No, but I mean, it's possible.
I commend you for thinking outside the box. But I think it's going to have to be Carl or it's going to be Charlie. I don't think that Stephen Knight and Anthony Byrne and everyone involved is really trying to like throw people off the beaten path.
We'll see. I would hate for Carl to turn into a good guy. Let's just make that very clear. We are an anti-Carl Thorne podcast.
Yes.
We don't like people who don't like black people.
Doesn't like Jewish people either.
Correct. We don't like people who side with fascists. But if this guy, Conrad Khan, the actor, wants to join up with Oswald Mosley, then maybe we do have a big antagonist from a young kid.
Right.
Like that would be interesting.
That would be stupid. Like, I'm sorry, but like Oswald, these like freaking mastermind geniuses of horror and terror are not going.
You don't think he wants to groom a protege? I'm all about grooming protege.
He's not like grooming them to be like a spy, like be like one of Lord Varys's little spies from Game of Thrones. Like that's not what they're using. That's not what they're doing.
This is a big name actor. He's not actually, but he's about to be. Peaky Blinders turns kids into big name actors. I mean, you look at Finn Cole and you look at Kingsley Benadire and you look at what probably is going to be a solid career for the kid who plays Finn Shelby, right? I mean, I have to think that a lot of these guys are getting big starts, and the dude that played Freddie Thorne got his start with Peaky, decided
to kill off. When you said Finn Cole, I was like, he's not a kid.
That's Michael Gray.
No, I know. And then I look it up and I'm like, wait, he's 25.
Yeah. So when he started, he was probably 22.
That's crazy. He is so young. I thought he was like 30.
Yeah, he's a stud. Big fan.
Do you want to take him to dinner or
what? I mean, I already took him on my soccer team. So like, I mean, he's leading.
Take him to dinner first, right? Like,
geez. By the way, Josh, Ted Lasso, Golden Globe. Boom.
I need to get on that on that train, but everyone is like obsessed with it to another level.
It's to the point where there's a sports podcast here in America that is extremely popular. It's called Pardon My Take. And the fact that even they have gone into it, and it's like everyone realizes that it's a meta show. It's a show that you go into it and you think it's going to be corny, and everyone thinks that the main guy is corny, Ted Lasso. And then you love Ted Lasso and they love Ted Lasso, and everyone starts to turn around on Ted Lasso. And then by the end of it, you're just like crying, and it's just amazing. And it's just a great show.
Did you cry?
There was no moment where I personally cried, but I could see where people could definitely get
teary-eyed. Let it out. We want
this emotional scene.
This is a safe space. This is a safe space here, Daniel. You can definitely let it out.
So speaking of crying, there was an announcement that kind of slipped under the radar recently of a returning character in Peaky Blinders that, I'll be honest, I didn't think we'd see back. And there's another Gangs of London Peaky Blinders connection. And it's Emmett Scanlan playing Billy Grade. He posted an Instagram picture of Peaky Blinders Series 6, Karen Mandebach Productions Limited. So basically his script, and saying, Billy Grade back in town. And that is that's interesting to me.
That is interesting because he's not going to be in the show unless he's doing some fuck shit.
Well, do you think that he can continue to go unnoticed, right? Like, if we go back in time, how smart is Finn? That's the real thing, right? Like, does Finn and Isaiah, was it Isaiah? I think it was just Finn and another character. It was just Finn, you think? No, he was with someone else. Did they realize that Billy Grade was the rat? I'm not sure if they did.
We need to go back and look to check our bases here, but my sense that is that he is only going to be in the show to do something for somebody, and Tommy could very well just use him now that he has him
to be his soccer goalie, right? In his new team.
I'm gonna punch you through the screen right now.
He's a professional goalie.
Anyways, he's doing some shit. Okay, he's gonna do some shit against somebody.
But what brings me back to what I'm saying, and I'm confident. Rewatching would be great, and feedback from people and correcting us would be fantastic. But I'm confident that it comes down to whether Finn Shelby can remember that he told Billy in an offhanded remark that they were gonna, kill Oswald Mosley, and there was gonna be something big that happened. But if Finn doesn't remember that one little remark was spoken, there's no way for anyone to suspect that it was Billy Grade that leaked the information. So he could definitely just file right in as the Black Cat in season 6
without anyone realizing. I have such a feeling that someone is going to send you some pretty nasty feedback about how we just effed up this whole entire plot.
How, though? I remember, he's sitting at the desk. Finn, it walks in. He's got a bunch of cash. He tells Billy that he's going to go get some strippers or have some crazy time, remember? And then Billy says, oh, what's going on tonight? And Finn just casually mentions that the cavalry's in town. And they're going to say,
he's like, who realizes that Finn told Billy Grade that? Like, it wasn't just Finn.
That's the thing. Are we going to have... And that comes back to the conversation of, do we think that season 6 will just continue from where season 5 let out? Or will there be that time jump that I am predicting? And, with the fact that we've got a 21-year-old who may be playing Carl or Charlie, who were like 7 in the end of season 5, does that mean there might be like a 10-year time jump?
Well, if there is a time jump, obviously. Everything that we were saying about whether it's Carl or Charlie has to be a time jump.
Correct.
Which would mean that, like, hopefully it wouldn't be until like later on in the show. It wouldn't just be like right away, because that would suck if it was a time jump right away.
Why though? That's what happened last season. It just started in 1929.
It wasn't like a 15 to 10 year time jump.
It was like a couple year time. I feel like Michael was in America for like a few years.
I don't know. It's making me realize that he probably isn't Carl or Charlie. So
that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that he might be just like a casual kid that he's, gets picked he's, up.
Okay, let the record show that Daniel's take that this guy is going to be some random.
I'm saying he's not a Shelby. He might not be a Shelby.
Street goer in season six part or season six.
Dressed very raggedy though.
Hold on. Daniel thinks that season six is about Tommy Shelby grooming some random street kid. Let the record show.
I cannot wait in minute, whatever this is, 23 of episode whatever of March 2021 when I could be correct here. And that would just be nuts. Let's just make that clear.
Yeah.
That would be nuts.
It would be nuts, but it's not going to happen. So it's
one okay. one more announcement of a character coming back via their own Instagram. And that's Annabelle Wallace, who is wearing a wig.
Let's go.
And she takes off the wig and posted a selfie of herself talking about her t-shirt, some like sponsor post. But then she says, excuse the wig, hashtag at work, .. Whoa, wig. All right. I wonder what that could be. Unless it's just Grace hair. You know what I mean? It could just be like Annabelle doesn't have that hair and she just has the Grace wig. So that's possible.
I hope we don't have too many Grace visions, flashbacks. Like it kind of gets oversaturated.
You speak for yourself. I'm here for all of the Grace.
You know that I'm a pro, like this is a pro Grace, pro Annabelle Wallace podcast. For storyline purposes, I don't want too many like Tommy just visions of Annabelle, of Grace. You know, like there's not a lot of time here. We have a lot of shit to fill.
This is true.
You know what I mean?
I don't want people or you to think that though. You know what I mean? Like there's no reason to go into the season saying, oh, that was a waste of 4 minutes. You know, like episode, like we got to let these guys breathe.
What's my motto?
We're not the writers.
No. Say it right. We're not picking from a menu. Like we don't get to decide what is played in the show, but we can have our takes on it. When it happens, I'm not going to be mad, obviously, but we'll see. I mean, it's always great to have Annabelle Wallace. She's a phenomenal actress. Grace is one of my favorite characters. You know, if you want to go back to season three, was it season three? It was season three.
Yep.
Obviously, if you're listening to this, it's very spoiler.
Yeah, I think we're allowed to talk about the fact that she's not alive.
But yeah, I mean, if you know me, watching Grace die was one of the hardest scenes of television history for me. Like history by far. It was like my jaw was dropped for like 2 days straight. But it's just like I want more of the present. I don't want more of the past and all this stuff.
See, I want flashbacks. I would love, and I know we really got like I got my gut punched when I found out that it wasn't going to be a France flashback and instead it's going to take place in Canada and all that stuff. And if this is news to you, go ahead and listen to the last few episodes that Josh and I, you know, we've done talking about the possibilities of, you know, some Canadian tomfoolery and all that jazz. But we'll stick to the present. We'll continue to make predictions for the future, Josh. And we have an exciting episode coming up for you guys on Patreon next, which is going to break down Tommy Shelby's tattoos. So if you're interested about that, if you want to know what tattoos he has or why he's got certain tattoos, we've got all the information for you. And that'll be released next week. So go ahead and check out patreon.com/buyorderofpeaky. As always, having a fantastic time chatting with you. Hope you guys enjoyed it as well. Josh, any last words for this fantastic Golden Globe worthy podcast here? I mean, if only the Golden Globes had a podcast category, right?
Oh, we would be number one by far. We would be reigning in the hardware.
But the Hollywood Foreign Press would not know what hit them because we would bribe them in the same way that everyone else seems to bribe them.
Very true. But I mean, this is fun. I mean, there's a lot, all these little tidbits and leaks have been fun getting us spewing.
Keep it coming. Feed us.
Yeah.
Feed us all the pictures.
It's smart. They're doing the right thing, like because they're getting people like us talking. And obviously, Stephen Knight and Anthony Byrne know that our podcast exists and they want to come on. And
it's a matter of time before we finally say yes. That's really what we're sitting.
Yeah. We're mulling the offers over.
It's called a slow play.
Exactly. It's, you know, we're playing chess, not checkers. Okay.
And we have Anya Taylor-Joy to help us out.
Exactly.
All right, Josh, thanks so much for joining me once again. He's Josh. I'm Daniel. And we binge, so you don't have to.